I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yes, indeed. Some of you out there want us to be sad, so let's be sad, Slee. Heartbreak last night.
Well, that one's easy. Yeah, I could be
sad. In the Mile High City.
That one's no problem. I could be
sad. In fact, let's hear John Ireland with the play-by-play of the final moments, starting with that big three-point opportunity. Way to hit the tape.
Three-pointer for LeBron. No good. And here come the Nuggets with a chance to win it. No timeout. 10 seconds remaining. Game tied at 99. Jamal Murray's got it. 5 seconds left. Murray dribbles right. 3-2. Murray for the win. Good. Nuggets win it.
11 o'clock straight up on a Live Imaging Tuesday presented by Kia downtown Los Angeles, right off the 10 freeway, right there on Washington and Fick. And it's also the Travis Tsliwa Show on a Michelob Ultra Reaction Tuesday. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 877-710-ESPN. Travis now walking in. And we will bang phones this segment.
You said something right there about Bron. What'd you make? Because I think, Trav, it's not something we talked about yet. He takes a shot with about maybe 13 seconds left, maybe 15 seconds, whatever it was. That
final
shot.
Nine left on the shot clock.
Nine left on the shot clock. And cool. I've heard people say, well, he took the shot too early. I mean, a couple things here. Number one, if you're wide open, it's the best shot you're going to get. So I think the question is going to come down to, what are you supposed to do? Wait for KCP to get back up, wait for the defense to get reset, only so you take a shot later in the shot clock, so then if you miss or score, Denver's got less time. I got no problem with Bron taking that shot. The only issue with that shot, he's hitting all these other ones. And that one, game on the line. You hit that shot, everybody shuts the hell up. The game is over. He missed that shot, and now all of a sudden Denver had a chance. They don't call timeout. They don't want Lakers to set on defense, and they did what we did. We knew what happened there. I didn't have any issue with the shot. I heard some people talking about how they had a problem with that early in the shot clock. It's the best look you're going to get in a possession. Take the best shot that you have available.
There were a million things that went wrong last night. That wasn't one of them.
Well, him not hitting the shot.
Well, I mean, he missed, and he'd been shooting the ball well. He'd been hot. Right, he'd been scoring.
Got
he'd
the
been
two
doing
threes, the and one,
all of it. Like, mm-hmm. Had he been ice cold all night, then maybe you're thinking, all right, maybe that's not the shot. Wide open, LeBron James with the game on the line. I'll live with it. He missed. The rest of everything that led up to that moment was a S show, but that was not. His defender fell down in front of him. It's a wide open look.
He
can
set
his
feet in front of anybody.
He missed that. Of all the things that happened, that's not one of the problems.
He had a 20-point lead against the champs in a must-win game.
Different.
And no, again, maybe Lakers faithful during the first half on Twitter. I saw Dwight Howard tweeted, "If they win this series, he's the GOAT, undisputed." Well, they're not going to, so don't worry. Here's the thing, Tim in the OC, our old friend. Oh, if they win this, Lakers in five. Are you insane?
That's fandom.
There was never a doubt in my mind. And yes, I like the chaos, especially on a Tuesday. I never thought the Lakers
were going to win.
I never thought they were going to win the game.
20. It had less to do with the Lakers. It had more to do with Denver.
No.
Denver just wasn't playing well.
It was. Was
that an earthquake, by the way, or was that just normal shaking?
They're doing stuff downstairs with just shaking our floor.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The only time where I thought the Lakers were in a pretty good spot. Like, even up 20, I'm like, I've seen the Nuggets do it too many times. I've
Bron moments.
The back-to-back threes, when they took it from 20 down to 2, and then Bron hit 2 threes in a row.
You got breathing room, and it's got to be deflating for Denver.
Usually, it's like a horse race, right? If the horse that's chasing can't get ahead, the other one pulls away. Thank you. They never got the lead. So I thought that was the moment. I'm like, I think they're going to be okay. But the 20-point lead did not give me, because I've seen AD disappear in the third quarter. I know who their head coach is. I know that D'Angelo Russell had not been playing well in the second
half. Jamal Murray was struggling.
None
he was
going to
get going.
He was going to get going. He's too good of a player. Jokic is too good of a player. Michael Malone is too good of a coach. They're going to have a run. But I thought that they had their run, or their version of a run last night. They just
and then
couldn't
Bron
get over
quieted
the top.
Yeah.
And then they lost anyway. Let's go to West Covina, Jorge's hometown. Irma in West Covina. What's up, Irma?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Hey, buenos dias.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Well, I'll say this. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, you can hear me, right?
Si.
Okay. All right. I'll just say it. When we were up by 20, I took a deep breath and I said, I've seen this before. It's not over. I love my Lakers, but I don't know how, but we're going to find a way to lose in the fourth. I just know it. It was too good to be true. And it's exactly what happened. What, we went 4 whole minutes without scoring a shot in the fourth quarter, I believe. It's just, I mean, what do you expect, Nuggets to keep missing shots? Like, come on, it's the Nuggets. They're home.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Is that you're just waiting. This is what the Denver Nuggets have done to the Lakers, Trav. They have forced every Laker fan to say, cool, that's a cool lead. When are the Nuggets coming back?
Yeah.
That they are so in the psyche. Morales, Chris mentioned this a little bit earlier. He said that, guys, you can't come back from a game like this. And you were talking, I think, Chris, more about getting swept, whether it's 5 games, 6, whatever it is, right? The psyche that the Nuggets have on the Lakers, you could be up 12 in game one, and everybody feels like, okay, well, this can change at any moment. It did. You could be up 20 in game two in the second half, 10 in the fourth quarter. 10 in the fourth quarter, 8 with a few minutes left to go in the game, and still that's not good enough. You can be a Lakers team that, instead of pointing the finger at yourself and saying, I could have been better, I could have done this, I could have done that, now you're pointing at the referees left and right. You can't really actually ask for a worse scenario that the Lakers put themselves in yesterday. I couldn't have painted a worse picture.
And a team could come back if they had a coach like Phil Jackson or Pat Riley, and if they had the age of their star. Here's the reality, and people don't want to hear it. LeBron is old.
Yes.
So he can put the team on his back for
periodically
35 minutes. But when you need those last 2 to 3, he's just exhausted.
Well, he's hoping for Reeves. Can I get a little something?
Right.
Rui, can I get a little something?
Right.
D'Lo was fantastic yesterday, not in the second half. AD,
and that's not LeBron's fault, by the way.
I was just going to say, Chris,
he's nearly 40 years old.
This is not a criticism of LeBron. It's a reality of LeBron.
Because without LeBron, and all jokes aside, somebody said in a tweet or something, why not rest LeBron like they rest Jokic in the third quarter? Because then the Lakers will be down by 30.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't do that. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. That if you play him, he's going to wear down. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't think last night was a huge factor of him wearing down, but he can't do what Chris is talking about. That thing he could do in Miami, that thing he could do in Cleveland, that thing he could do for the Lakers 2 or 3 years ago, it's just like, guys, tonight, I've got it. I'm going to put us over the top. And, oh, by the way, on those other places, there's Kyrie. There's Dwayne Wade.
Sure.
There's Chris Bosh.
Sure.
There's these other guys that are able to give you a bucket here or there, steal a possession here or there.
Look at Lakers, Shaq and Kobe Day, Fisher, Robert Horry,
Brian
Shaw.
He was on his own. Mm-hmm. He was completely on his own. And going back to what Irma said, like, I didn't feel it. It's a twofer. You have two things happening at the same time. You have the best team in the league that hasn't found their footing yet. They're going to. It's only a matter of time until they get going. And the other part is the other team's playing with one guy. Those two things, they're unsustainable, insustainable, unsustainable. You can't, the plan can't be you're 30, was he nine, Slee, 39?
39.
You're 39-year-old.
280 playoff games on top of the 21
essentially
seasons.
Essentially 24 seasons in guy going 1-on-5 against the three-time, soon-to-be three-time MVP, another all-star player in Jamal Murray, a cast of effective role players, and a really good coach. Of course it's going to turn itself on its head.
LeBron hasn't won a championship in an 82-game season in 8 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is.
He was 32 years old. Michael Jordan's last finals win was at the age of 35. At some point, it catches up, and it's going to catch up.
But here's what's funny. I don't even know if it's...
I don't think this had anything to do with LeBron.
Yeah, I was just going to
say... No, I did. I think he misses that three because of fatigue.
He missed a shot, Chris. You're going to miss occasionally. It was a good luck. He missed.
Because he was tired.
But just go back to what you just said. He didn't have help.
None.
Literally, Anthony Davis took one shot in the final 12
Reeves
minutes.
Reeves was nowhere.
That's the equivalent.
Russell was
that's
nowhere.
The equivalent of Jamal Murray having to do everything, and Jokic takes one shot in the
so
fourth quarter.
So instead of blaming the refs and referencing
pathetic.
A game from the East, why didn't LeBron James say, AD disappeared on me tonight?
I don't think you'd call him out like that publicly, but
Not by name, but he could do it euphemistically.
Mm-hmm. Did he get? Do we think LeBron got in his face in the locker room? He said, "You let me down tonight."
Not a chance. Nor did he say in the press conference, "Listen, man."
What else do you want me to do?
We need more from everybody.
Right.
We need more from everybody means I need more from Anthony.
So him and AD took shots at the refs in the postgame.
Pathetic.
And the coach. Mm-hmm. AD went after Darvin Ham, allegedly. You know, we think that that's what he's talking about.
Who else would it be about?
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
But I think that, okay.
Rui.
We talked about how, you know, LeBron's like, guys, I need more help. But at the end of games, LeBron is somebody who, one, has been successful for almost his entire career. Do you think he'd even trust the people around him to shoot the ball?
Here's why. Who hit the shot to beat the Warriors? Kyrie Irving hit the shot. Who hit a huge shot to beat the Spurs? Ray Allen hit a big shot to win that series. Yes, he will. But
Shane Battier.
I got to have faith in you.
But can I trust this team.
I agree with you.
And it also comes down to who yesterday in the fourth quarter could he have trusted? So I'm going to give you an example. If D'Lo hit a couple shots in the fourth, I don't think Bron has a problem throwing the ball to D'Lo.
No.
If Austin Reeves hit a couple shots or Rui, any of these guys gave him some kind of faith, but who gave him any faith in that fourth quarter? AD literally is sitting in the corner. AD was sitting in the corner. Or they're running a screen and roll, and once he screens, Anthony Davis is out of the play. He couldn't look at AD, couldn't look at Rui, couldn't look at D'Angelo or Austin Reeves.
What was that number you said this morning, Al, about their bench scoring through two games?
So one person has scored off the Lakers bench
in the first two games.
Prince. It's been Torian Prince. By the way, I think Torian Prince should have closed out that game, not Rui. But he has 17 points total. He had an 11-point game and a 6-point game. 6 yesterday, 11 the night before. That's it from the Lakers bench. They literally do not have another player that scored off of that Lakers
bench.
And
that goes to Chris's point. Chris's point of being, you're asking LeBron to expend so much energy to stay in it that by the time it comes to making open shots.
Against the Nuggets of all teams.
You know who had big shots last night? Michael Porter Jr. hit a pretty damn big three. With the game hanging in the balance, that three is like, all right, we're still playing. That doesn't go in. Game's a little different.
Is it because they're encouraged to do that? Because I think Mike Malone, I think Jokic encourages them. I think LeBron encourages them. I think
that's just – Beto mentioned this. If you listen to Jamal Murray, who was 3 of 14, whatever he was
having a bad night.
Jamal Murray saying postgame that he was telling all his teammates, guys, I'm going to find you. And everyone is like, don't find us. You need to shoot. You got to be the one that shoots. I think there is an encouragement
between
that
Brown
team.
Had a couple of possessions that were incredibly, and I missed the free throws in one of them. KCP hit some big shots.
How about KCP's defense at the end of the game? I'll take LeBron.
That's what I'm saying. They're Jokic and Murray won that game for those teams. Their two best guys were their two best guys. But those other guys that were out there too,
they all had moments. Aaron Gordon saved the ball too, Michael Porter Jr. to hit that three.
Yes. But that KCP dunk, that was after one of LeBron's threes, right? Down the court in seconds, KCP dunk.
Okay, it's also because LeBron, I think it might have been that play, if not a play beforehand, but LeBron was trying to complain to the ref about a call that wasn't called on his thing, and then didn't get back on defense to cover a break from the Nuggets. It's like, you can't just be complaining to the refs the entire game.
Mm-hmm. And he's turned Austin Reeves into that. That's all they do is complain. And I'm not saying the whole league does it.
No,
you don't tell him, to M's point, at some point, you got to play defense.
Chris, you know what they do? I mentioned this yesterday. I hate using the word, but I do believe it. Front runner is somebody that when things are going well, high-fiving this, that. The moment things start going bad, all of a sudden you're turning to the coach or you're turning to the referees, the body language. You said Austin Reeves. When Lakers are winning, everybody's high-fiving, everything looks great. The moment things start kind of churning, they all freeze.
Well, you know why? Because none of those guys are wired like, well, there isn't a plan. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number 1B is they're all looking at LeBron James because they don't want to do it. Right? Like D'Angelo Russell was on fire in the first half. He couldn't miss. We have 6 threes.
Six threes in the first half.
And Reggie Miller screaming on TV, you know, he's shutting everybody up. It's like, you know, there's a second half coming, right? Like we've seen this before. Anthony Davis was extraordinary.
Unstoppable.
But you're like, it's coming down. And it's not just that everyone stands around. It's that no one wants it to happen. All of those great Shaq and Kobe moments. Who was the guy with the ball at the end of the games? Mm-hmm. It was Kobe. Shaq was the best guy at that point, but Kobe was the one that was willing to, I'll do it, Robert Horry would do it. Derek Fisher would do it. The supporting cast was involved. Everybody not named LeBron
tell you
is
in championships,
staring.
And that's Denver. Like what you just said about Shaq and Kobe. I know it's not Shaq and Kobe, but there is something about here are the two best players. Here's a role player that all understands their role.
And there's one other person that had absolutely no response yesterday. We'll do that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, yes, a little Serbian rock for your live imaging Tuesday morning.
Look, Serbian rock, not yacht rock, right? Because it's on a yacht.
I'll get my friends Yali Crew to come up with a Serbian jam for the summer. 11:18 on a live imaging Tuesday on this Michelob Ultra Reaction Tuesday. Lakers, a heartbreak in the Mile High City last night. We get tweets, and I want to read one here from Crash Override, our friend. This whole LeBron is a man on an island with no real help talk is hilarious, considering he's the reason he is in this position.
That may be true. Two things can be true at the same time. He may be on the island because he created the island. Doesn't mean he's not there.
Island boy!
That as well. You know, Josh Santa Maria here. Santa Maria has a really good point that I was advocating for. No one was listening to me. He said, I have yet to hear anybody acknowledging the fact that the Lakers chose to play Denver rather than their chances in the second play-in game and OKC. They picked their poison.
It seems like a better idea today.
But seeing how it did a couple of days
ago. When Mason walks in, the first thing I'm going to tell him is, I think your plan was right.
Seeing how exhausted they are, and they were exhausted in the play-in game, do you really think they win a series against the Thunder?
I do.
A fast Thunder team?
It's the only team in the entire Western Conference
that I would feel
comfortable saying the Lakers are going to win.
Just because they don't have experience and size. They don't have
the
size.
The Lakers, when they play them, the Lakers just look a lot better. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch them play Minnesota, I know they can beat Minnesota. I know that they can beat Zagreb. When they play OKC, they just look like they're a lot better than OKC.
Seeing
I don't think that's true.
Kings, I watch them against the Warriors.
Yeah. Seeing how the Kings destroy the Warriors then.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Lakers beat the Kings in the second game?
That's questionable.
I think it's a 60-40? I think it's a game. I think it's a game, and maybe we're not having any of these conversations.
Do you really beat bruised eye Sabonis? He had that bruised eye, remember?
Bruised eye.
Weren't you wondering why he was bruised?
I feel like I've seen him like in his career once a year he's got a bruised left
eye. But
it's
odd bruise on the eye.
He's a physical guy. Last night was all right, let me back up a little bit.
Back it up.
Everything that we worry about with the Lakers had a spotlight shined on it in a period of about 45 minutes or an hour. Everything that is problematic both currently now and potentially problematic moving forward was on display. First and foremost, the head coaching position, where there was just absolutely nothing positive coming from there.
Or nothing happening at all.
That's a huge problem, and it was on full display for everybody to see. Your best player, LeBron James, is aging and does not quite have that thing that he's had other places where he can just do it by himself occasionally. The supporting cast is deeply suspect. Anthony Davis, while incredible for long stretches of time, still has what happened in the fourth quarter
last
night.
When it's most critical, he's nowhere to be found.
Way too often. Every problem that you have, and the ability to get more people to all of the things, you're like, yeah, man, that's not great. That's not great. That's not great. All 5 or 10 or 50 of them were stacked up and on full display. That shot goes in, It's like, hey.
Wait, which shot?
LeBron's.
Okay. Yeah.
They survived.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They nearly blew it. Oh, my God. I can't believe that Darvin nearly cost me. Oh, my God.
But
gosh,
you know what?
What
it's tied one apiece.
They survived. Mm-hmm. But everything that is bad about it, everything that's potentially problematic in the short term and the long term was right there, spotlight shining on it for an hour in a playoff game. And you can't deny it anymore.
And yeah, sometimes you watch. We talked a little bit about this where when a team comes back, it could happen like that. The Lakers had so much time to, okay, look, Denver's still missing shots. I think the fact that it was such a slow drip, the final 18 minutes of the game was watching a horror movie fold or unfold right in front of your eyes. And it's like, I think everything is going to go good at the end. And then the end, the only time the Denver Nuggets had the lead, I think they had the lead twice in the game yesterday. The
Super
second time,
early.
The final time was Jamal Murray hitting that shot.
Yeah. Oh, no, Billy Mack on Spectrum kept making that point about how they had the lead only in the beginning. And, you know, Lakers up by 20. And I was just like, just wait. I love Billy Mack, but just wait, buddy.
No, that 20, I don't think anybody was comfortable. Well, Al, you were. At 20,
not
it's like,
comfortable, but I thought Denver was playing bad enough where maybe they're just going to have a bad game.
Or this 40, or I might believe it.
Yeah.
They're
not going to be bad all night. The question was, did they leave themselves enough time to get going to cut in all 20 of them?
Right.
They were never going to win by 20.
Yeah.
It's can they hold on once lead. Denver gets on? Yeah. Can you win by 6? Can you win by 2?
But does anyone think this is just Mike Malone's strategy, which is go just like game one, go in and let them punch themselves out. Let LeBron
play
do
with
his thing.
Little rope-a-dope.
Yeah. Because in the fourth quarter, it won't matter.
Well, can I point something out? Michael Malone, just to point out how the game changed, okay? First, he had Jokic on Anthony Davis. At a stage in the game, he decided, okay, enough of that. Aaron Gordon, you try. At one point, he had different players guarding LeBron James, second half late in the game. You know what? I'm going to try KCP on this guy. There were so many different portions of that game where you felt like whatever Denver looked like in the first quarter looks pretty damn different in the fourth quarter. Tell me what changed with the Lakers.
Nothing.
Fatigue. Is that unbelievable?
Fatigue.
No, but isn't that unbelievable?
But fatigue because nothing changed.
Well, yeah.
You know, you continue to do the same thing over and over. I asked you during the break. What of these two is the worse option? Having Darvin Ham literally stand there and do nothing, just do the same thing over and over again, just let LeBron
Dave
do
Roberts.
Everything,
go ahead.
Or make some decisions that turn out badly. Like, we're gonna do something. This isn't working. We're going to plan B. Okay, plan B sucks. Let's go to plan C. Plan C is worse than plan B. Go to plan D. And you just make these series of decisions that don't work out. Doing nothing is worse.
Here's
right?
why making the bad decisions is better, because it helps you get closer to finding what the right solution
Unless
is.
Unless he's been told from above, just like
That's
Dave Roberts.
That's not basketball. That is Dave Roberts.
Don't do anything. Just speak. Let LeBron do his thing. Because he doesn't want to be.
He doesn't need to be told from above. LeBron would tell him, "I'm doing my thing."
But someone's got. Look, I'm not.
And he's already been told, "You're good next year." Don't worry.
I'm not complaining. God, that can't be true.
That's what the report says.
I know. That's what the report says. Anthony Irwin, right?
Yeah.
That Anthony Irwin is saying that regardless of result,
even if it's an early first round exit,
Darvin Ham is coming back next year. That can't possibly be true.
Well,
you can't have possibly seen what happened last night and be comfortable with him as your head coach.
Here's why it can't be true. This was before yesterday's game, right? This was before game two. Why would anyone make any determination about anything in the middle of the playoffs?
Because he's a nice guy.
What would be
people like him in the organization.
What would be the reasoning of what would justify? Now, listen, if they got back to the Western Conference Finals, it's a different conversation. That's fine if it's different. What would be the justification of even? Why wouldn't you just say, yeah, waiting till the end of the season?
That long road trip before the season ended, John Ireland, you, Michael Thompson, this is a team you don't want to see in the playoffs. We didn't think they were making the playoffs. So is that worth coming back? Let's run it back?
No.
Listen.
Nothing.
They played great basketball to end the year. No question about it.
How's it going now?
Denver is arguably the best team in the NBA.
And like I said, when you said I was insane 2 weeks ago, the only thing that matters, and this is how Dr. Buss would view
it. I didn't say you were insane 2 weeks ago. I say you're insane every day.
That's fine. If the wall, when you walk in the offseason, isn't how do we beat them?
Sure.
Then it doesn't really matter. If you're not trying to beat the Denver Nuggets because they're going to be this team for the next three seasons.
That's the problem because Jamal Murray just turned 27.
Right.
Jokic isn't even 30.
We don't know how old he is. Well, I mean, whatever we don't know. You know,
he's either 44 or 30.
But nobody's game is going to age better than Jokic. He doesn't get off the ground anyway. No. He doesn't run fast. His game isn't predicated on being this unbelievable athlete.
He's built just, like a Serbian horse.
He's built like a Serbian horse that just goes to work every day and kills you. They're going to be in this position for the foreseeable future.
West is getting better
every year, 6 years. Mm-hmm. But the best team is going to continue to get better too because their two best guys are in the prime of their existence.
Sure.
How do you get past that? That's a whole nother thing. But that's not the only thing. The reason they're playing them now is because for the last 2 years, they find themselves in this position where you're going to play
they're seven or eight.
They're seventh and eighth place team.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're seventh and eighth place team, you're going to play somebody pretty good. Last year, they got really fortunate.
You know what usually happens when you get lucky? Things even out.
Yeah. Well, last year, they were the seven again. They played the two. Well, the two was missing everybody. And the team they got next was the perfect draw for them. Then eventually you got these guys again. They beat you four in a row. They beat you 10 times in a row now.
How about that, Slee?
It's just so demoralizing because they keep just doing the same thing again.
Mm-hmm. You feel demoralized, Slee?
Yeah. Honestly,
good.
And that
you should feel that way.
That made me feel a little bit more demoralized.
Rub it in, Trav. Rub it in. Before I go to Commerce Casino for 2 hours, let me tell you, the Live Imaging Tuesday is driven by our friends at Kia Downtown Los Angeles. The big spring deals continue at Kia of Downtown LA. Lease the dynamic 2024 Kia Forte GT for only $265 per month. The big spring deals only at Kia of Downtown LA next to the 10 freeway at Figueroa and Washington in downtown Los Angeles. And what you do is you go in and you see the general manager, yep, Gary. He's sitting in his office.
Sure.
He looks like he doesn't want to be bothered.
Yep.
He's polishing his Rolex.
He's got the sales boards just killing it over there.
And you say, hey, sucker, Gary. Chris Morales tells me to come in and say, give me a Kia, sucker. And that's what you do. Go see Gary over at Kia of Downtown LA and tell him 710 ESPN, Live Imaging Tuesday, we want you to get a Kia, sucker.
Give me a Kia,
sucker.
I'm going to see if it works. Maybe I'll give you one. You never know.
Bro, they're waiting
for you.
Get time. The look he's giving you right now.
Make sure you're back in time at 1:15 for Mason and I.
1:30.
Make sure that you're back. Factor Cap, it's coming up next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey guys. So what's funny
bonjour.
Is bonjour. Bonjour. Bon ami. So yesterday during the TNT broadcast, they were doing these kind of like look-ins on like what Michael Malone was saying to his team. You know, hey, you know, we're trying to get you the ball. You know, we're trying to get you. You're double teamed. You could see him actively being a coach. What's funny is I actually heard one from TNT of what Jokic wants to do, what his plan for the next game is, and how he's going to beat the Lakers. So here is Jokic talking about this.
Next, we are going to steal the moon!
Yeah, he's going to steal the moon, guys.
Good plan.
Yeah, all right. So I just want to work that in there.
Is he going to use his brothers?
Yeah.
Because they're oh not messing around.
What the hell was that?
We can talk about that later,
Don't mess with the Jokic's. It's a bad idea.
My gosh. What did that guy have to say in order to get a...
Something about a horse.
One right in the
horse.
Shin.
Horse.
All right. All right. So yesterday, the Knicks and the Sixers, so they played. They had an incredible ending to their game as well. I'm sure we're going to talk about it later. Really kind of controversial, but the Knicks fans, We all know them. They're crazy.
They are.
They win one game in the playoffs, and it's like they won the NBA Finals. So,
you know the whole saying, act like you've been there? When you haven't been there in a long time,
exactly.
You can act kind of crazy.
Exactly. So this is sound from the Knicks in right outside of MSG after the Lakers, after the Knicks won yesterday.
DJ Khaled, congratulations! You just lost another one!
We gonna see how Miami, yeah? We gonna see how Miami. What are you talking about? Yeah, we're here, baby.
Miami's the city of rental cars and plastic surgery. Go New York!
LeBron's a
So they were taking shots at everybody, not just the Sixers. Actually, none of it was towards the Sixers, which is the funniest thing about
Did
this.
Did you hear same thing after game one? It was F. Trae Young.
Yes. They just take shots at anybody.
The chants were F. Trae Young.
They're mad at everybody. They're big mad. And this is
like,
why.
What did LeBron do? He wasn't even playing.
That's unbelievable.
This is why I freaking love Knicks fans, because they're such fun. And I love New York sports fans in general. They're crazy. So fun because their teams suck. And then they have one win, and it's like the thing. But my statement is, you would want to be in this crowd outside of MSG. Travis Fetcher, Cap.
Cap, here's why.
You're too cool?
No, it's not that. Like, usually I like to fancy myself a little too cool for school. You know that about me. That's not what this is. I've been in a couple of crowds that felt like they were on the edge of tipping into total chaos. Mm. The most famous one did end in chaos. And
boxing?
I don't, yes. Yeah. So after the Tyson-Holyfield fight at MGM Grand Arena, I don't know if they still do it like this.
God,
but back
I
in
love
the 90s,
that you got to go to all these boxing matches.
Everybody, in the MGM Grand Arena, whatever it's called, it's got a capacity of roughly 15,000, 16,000 people. It's a good-sized building.
Yeah.
Everybody has to leave through one door.
Oof.
So it's this cattle call, this shoot, that everybody goes down and they wind you through all the stores and into the casino. That's what they did at the time. It's been 30 years, so I don't know if they still do it like that. You're shoulder to shoulder, chest to back with other human beings, and people are getting a little, people have been drinking.
Yep.
There's the adrenaline of a fight in the air. There's all of these things going on.
Was this the Tyson biting Holyfield?
Yes, and it was so scary. And that one ended up with blackjack tables getting flipped over and just total mayhem. It's super, that everyone there's having fun.
Bing bong.
I get it. They're having fun. But those things go from everybody having fun to a disaster like that. So I'm going to say Cap.
All right, Al, have fun with this.
In this circumstance, it's fact because the Knicks won. It's game two of the first round. So I don't think anything crazy like that's going to happen. If you told me they lost game six of the NBA Finals and that's
okay.
It, it's a wrap.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but one guy goes, hey, blank you. Okay.
Could happen. I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to take my chances. I go fact on
so
this one.
So if you watch the clip, the guy who says, like, we'll see you in Miami is a Miami Heat fan. And again, he could be the guy that faces the brunt of the people saying, LeBron's a you-know-what.
We'll do you mean the home of rental cars and plastic surgery in Miami?
Such a good line.
That was
such a good line.
Great.
Honestly, would love for them to play this for Sedano later in the day and see how Sedano feels about
that. Home of the rental cars.
Jorge, what do you think?
I would say Cap, and I have a similar story somewhat to what you said, Travis. So I'm covering Mexico, Argentina in San Antonio. So I'm the camera guy. The reporter's in front of me. So all these Mexican fans behind us, and they're getting rowdy. The Mexican fans start saying Messi, Messi. So the reporter's, you know, feeling himself like, oh yeah, you guys know what's up. Okay, cool, Messi. And then they go Mexico, Mexico.
Awesome.
They flipped it on him, and then the guy's like, oh, you guys are full of it. I wish I was part of them, just poking fun. But then that night, I ended up betting four beers with four different reporters, and I lost because Mexico lost 4-0.
Okay. So, guys, I got. Jason Torres sent me. This is from a year ago. But, okay, they did go crazy two nights ago.
Same idea.
This could have been any single day in New York Knicks history that they go crazy like this.
It could have been game 63 of the regular season.
They beat Orlando.
They beat the Raptors. Yeah. 109-95.
So, that might not have been from last night, but they did go crazy. So general idea is that this would have happened any night.
That's
out there.
Funny.
All right, so this is a report, I believe, actual report. Sorry, maybe I'm fake newsing it. I'm being a boomer out here. So a 15-year-old was being interviewed.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, exactly. 15-year-old was being interviewed outside of a scene that happened. So they're in Boston, And it's a local news reporter, and a car had just run into a Dunkin' Donuts. It looked like the car just kind of lost control, ran into Dunkin' Donuts. So the local news station is, you know, asking people what, you know, what the scene's like. Were you scared? What happened? And to this 15-year-old, this is what he said when asked about what happened at this Dunkin' Donuts.
I was just like, America doesn't just run on Dunkin', cars do too.
Okay.
Fantastic line, kiddo.
Working on material. You're working on material right there.
It also reminds me of that kid who was interviewed with, like, I've never been on live TV before. And apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like,
anyway.
Exactly. I like turtles. Remember that kid?
Yeah.
I like turtles.
So put yourself in the shoes. You would say okay to being interviewed by a local TV station for like a man on the street kind of thing. So like not like you're being interviewed as Travis Rogers of Travis and Sliwa Show. You're a man on the street. So you would agree to be interviewed for that. Alan Petrocat.
In fact, yeah, I don't mind that. I think it's kind of funny that how you set it up. The kid trying to crack a joke, working on his material that he's going to use when he's 19 at the improv or something like that. But I don't have a problem with that. You know what it makes me think of, because this has happened before, is these reporters go out and randomly interview people on the streets. And one time, Klay Thompson got interviewed, and the reporter didn't know it was Klay Thompson.
And sure wasn't fake Klay?
It wasn't fake Klay. Fake Klay is good. Fake Klay could get into the NBA Finals and take some warm-up shots. I don't have an issue with it. I just love that certain reporters out there will run into, and I just use athletes as a certain example, Jordan Clarkson in Utah had one of these as well. They had no idea it was Jordan Clarkson, but fact for me.
I think either last year or year before that, right around the NHL draft, someone was doing, again, man on the street outside of the NHL draft, and they got one of the guys that I think was like being drafted, and they were like, oh, do you know this person? And he's like, I do. It's me, basically.
And do you remember Last Dance, the episode where John Stockton goes out?
In the streets of Barcelona.
In Barcelona. Yeah. And somebody has a shirt on of the Dream Team, the iconic figures, the animated. And they had no idea it was John Stockton.
It's great. Travis?
So am I a kid in this scenario?
You are Travis Rogers today.
Today, but I don't do this for a living?
No, you do this for a living, but you're being asked.
You go out right now.
You're outside of Hollywood Bowl, and they're just asking people.
Hard pass. Cap.
Okay.
Because I get my reps in during between 10 and 1.
Yeah.
I'm good. I've seen myself on TV.
Yeah, I'm with Travis on this one. Like I'm the guy behind the camera, not in front of it. Yeah. Just to give you that much. Yeah.
I did, like, we were at the day after Christmas, we were up in Santa Barbara and we were at the mall, and Bobby, my oldest son, was 11 or so, and he got asked to do, like, why are you at the mall the day after Christmas? And he's like, I'm returning a Lego set. And his brother and sister still bust his ass about it. He's 11. It's like, you know, he's like, you loser, you're returning your Legos.
I'm going to tell him next time I see you.
Returning a Lego set.
Apparently Carson on Duncan too.
Yeah, right?
All right, so... So there's a movie coming out this weekend called Challengers. It stars Zendaya and Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor. It's about tennis. It's supposed to be like a kind of very sexy tennis movie of kind of like a love triangle.
Ooh.
It's being heralded as one of the best movies of the year and a very sexy movie. So maybe put it on your list for you and your partners. But that being said, my friend Peter lives in New York City, and he went to go see it yesterday. He's like, oh, have you seen it yet? And I was like, no, I was supposed to see it. I didn't end up seeing it.
Somebody beat you to a movie?
Right. Actually,
I don't believe
funny
it.
Story about this.
I don't believe it.
Well, Peter, you're in trouble.
I was supposed to go see it at a press screening because my friend got me into it last week, but it was the same day as my date. I didn't realize.
Ah.
Anyway, turned into something else. So I didn't get to see it early. So Peter goes to see it, and then he texts me as he comes out of the movie that Zendaya came to the showing and like introduced it, and I was very jealous, and he's living my dream. So you hold it against people who are living your dream. Jorge Fettercap.
No, I actually don't. Because people ask me, like, sometimes they ask you, what do you do for a living? And, you know, Brenda sometimes butts in. He's like, oh, this guy enjoys going to work every day. So I don't, because I guess I get to do what
living your dream.
Yeah, I guess I get to do it, you know.
Travis?
I don't like that look. Every time he gives you that look, it's...
I think I have the exact same look. I know where you're going. I'll go
Hey,
first
Trav, guess what I did last night? What, Jorge? Oh, I went and met Fernando Valenzuela at the Dodger game. What?
You said no.
I know I did.
That makes it even worse.
I know it's my own fault, but yeah.
Living my dream.
If somebody gets to do the thing that I would love to do... Now,
jealous? Hey, no, but I'm just like, oh, man, I would have done anything to be there with you and get to do it. I'm glad that you got to do it, but I wanted to be there with you.
Alan?
Fact, I think it's natural, right? Like, you might see somebody, we're going to do rabbit hole a little bit later, and you see people that are traveling the world, and maybe they're
in
doing
style too, man.
Food stuff. Maybe they're doing this, but it's like, I'm sure somebody listening right now is saying, shut your you-know-what. You get to talk sports for a freaking living. That's a lot. But I think we all, doesn't matter what we're doing, sometimes we see somebody else doing something else. It's not even hating. It's just more, wow, that looks really cool. I wish I could do that too. That's
all
fact.
Right. I got one more for you guys. So another movie that's coming out soon is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. A lot of articles in that title, but a lot. But they're doing kind of a viral marketing tactic, and they
sounds like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Exactly. So they're having people dress up in the like monkey suits, look like monkeys on horses.
No, cap, whatever. It's the terrifying one is my answer.
In Venice Beach, and they're kind of walking. They're just going around acting like they're just normal monkeys from the movie. In Venice Beach, and approaching people. So, you know what you would do in that situation, Alf after Cap.
Cap, it took me that long to answer. I don't know what I would do. Like, I'm trying to think of, okay, do I run?
And again, maybe you don't know that there's a movie coming out of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
I don't, but I think my reaction is, okay, obviously nothing's going on here, so this can't be real. But also, it is in L.A. Is this some kind of a bit that's going on? I wouldn't know how to react. I wouldn't know.
Trev?
Yeah, fact. If I saw the lead monkey or whatever we're calling this person.
Caesar.
I'm turning around. I'm going the other way. I don't need to be within 100 miles of that.
Nope.
I understand it's a human being in makeup and in a costume. I get it. It's too real. Like, I've seen the billboards. I've seen the commercials. That looks like an ape or a monkey that has become fully realized and now can do things to me. I'm out 100%.
But aren't you the lead writer of Commander and Chimp? You got to get used to that.
No, our chimp, I believe, is going to be animatronic. I believe that we're going to have some sort of control over said
chimp. Like the snake in Anaconda? Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm asking questions. I want to know what kind of taxes that they're paying, how they're contributing to society, trying to figure it all out.
Jorge?
Cap, I wouldn't know what to do, and it happened to me. I was in Venice Beach, and Mbappe was there. A French player. He was playing a pickup game with some of the guys just random in the beach. It was really him. He was all over. They were all over social media. I don't know if it was a Nike thing because he's a Nike athlete.
It
must have been. But it's Venice, and I didn't know.
He's one of the most famous athletes in the world.
Of course,
just
but he was out here. Well, he was out here for the summer or whatever, for holiday, I think you call it. And then I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, Mbappe's playing. I was like, wait, what? And
that's crazy. Yeah.
But if you saw an ape on horseback.
Yeah, of course not.
I'm out.
Yeah.
By the way, I think you put your finger on it, that ape can ride a horse, I think, is the most difficult part of it.
The way he stands on that horse, too, though.
All right. Walker Buehler may or may not be coming back before too long. We'll get into that. Plus, we got a lot more Laker stuff, including your phone calls to get to as well. It's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. But listen to this. Right now, 877-710-ESPN. If you call right now, you got a chance to win a 4-pack of suite passes to LAFC against Portland on April 27th. That game is at 7:30. Be caller number 7. And if you are caller number 7, you win. 877-710-ESPN. Call right now. Caller number 7 wins. Travis Lee, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
And that is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We love this song. Little French songs being played for Anthony. I know where it's from.
Yeah.
Mad Men. We are not playing the Mad Men version.
I know, but that's where I know it from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is for AD and LeBron as they're getting ready to go to Paris for the Olympics.
No, they're not.
But
they're getting ready to go to crypto.
During Factor Cap, we talked about people living our dreams and everything.
Yeah, Jorge stole my dream.
Exactly. But I think we have someone on line 11 that wants to talk about living your dreams.
Who's
we got Oral Hershiser.
Seriously? Oral?
Hey, Travis.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I was driving down the 210. I'm about at Fruit Street. I'm listening to you guys, and you're talking about somebody meeting Fernando and jealousy and haters, and I'm like, I'm going to call Travis so he can have something they can hate about, you know?
Perfect. Good. So I can now, somebody else that is a fan of yours the way that I am could say, Oral just called Travis Lee out of the blue. I want to live that life. Yeah. Jorge went to Dodger Stadium one night with our pal Beto Duran, and I'll give them credit. They did invite me to come with them, and I couldn't go.
Trav said no.
And you've heard me say this to you, Oral. You know, Fernando, as a kid growing up, was like the guy that I fell in love with, made me a Dodger fan, all this stuff.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we met Fernando tonight. I'm like, no, you didn't. They showed me some pictures. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh. Well, you know my friend Eddie Alizada, and we're opening a store out in Claremont called Legends Attic, and you know that Eddie is a huge Fernando fan, a huge Kobe fan, a huge, you know, Laker fan, huge Dodger fan. And one day I brought him up in the press box with his family, and I introduced him to Fernando, and he was beside himself.
I'm sure
and
he was.
Fernando is very shy and kind of reserved, but he, you know, his smile, shake people's hands. And then, you know, and Eddie was like, can I get a picture? And I'm like, yeah, you can get a picture, but this is like, you're not overstepping the bounds, but
you're approaching.
Like, okay, you just kind of, you touch Fernando's garment like Jesus, and then that's enough, you know? I just listened to you guys. I'm off this week. The Dodgers are in Washington.
Sure.
And I'm off. I'm working with the car dealerships and Legends Attic, a whole bunch of stuff. But I love listening to you guys in the morning. So I just wanted to call in, give you somebody so somebody can hate on you a
Excellent.
Little bit for me calling, and we're friends.
Well, I know, and this is, I know you said I could only imagine how excited Trav would get. All Trav would want to do with Fernando is just switch shirts. You know how like you see soccer players do this, and they switch jerseys at the end of games? That's all Trav wants. That's not overstepping his boundary, is it?
No, it's not. And you know what? If Trav would get a picture with Fernando, it probably wouldn't be a very good picture because he'd probably be looking up at the bill of his cap, I think. Fernando would probably be smiling and doing it naturally, and Travis would be looking at the bill of his cap for some reason.
Well, you got to be in character, right? You got to look to the skies,
exactly.
As Vinny used to say. Absolutely. I know that you got work to do, Oral, but I'm going to slide in one quick baseball question. We were talking about this the other day. Bad week for the Dodgers last week? Is that all it is, that you play 162 games, you're going to have a week here or there, or something else?
Yeah, so, you know, I go out after the game sometimes, go have a late-night dinner in Pasadena. I go home, I run into fans, of course, walking out to my car. And the showstopper line that I've used this last week was, you know they're going to lose 60 games, and people then have to do the calculation. That's 102-60. And I'm like, yeah. Don't worry. Winning teams do this. Everybody goes through little slumps. Baseball probabilities hit you. Bad play in certain departments hits you. You know, we didn't have any elite play from the offense, so it didn't cover the slightly bad bullpen. We didn't have elite play from the offense where it didn't cover slightly bad starting pitching. We got bad something. All of a sudden, if every department is average with our roster, we're going to dominate. If one department is elite, we're going to dominate. If all of them turn out kind of slightly bad and nothing is elite, we're going to lose a few games in a row. But we're going to lose 60 games. But we might only lose about 56 or 50. So just watch out. It's going to happen. We're going to be disappointed about 50 times. And we just hope that we don't have any L's come October.
Well, I'm going to squeeze one more quick one in here. And I know this is just – we spent almost the first
one more question.
This is
an appearance fee. Okay, go ahead.
That's it. That's why I said just one more. I know there's, I think three is the where the appearance fee kicks in. We spent 2 hours talking about this. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it. As a former athlete, when you have a team, and we don't even have to get into the nuances of what happened yesterday, Lakers and the Denver Nuggets, they've beat them 10 games in a row. Just from an athlete perspective, is there a little bit, how much of it becomes psyche? How much of it does it become, oh my gosh, we just feel like we're going to eventually lose this game? I'm just curious from your perspective as an athlete, did that ever kind of weigh in when you used to play?
Well, you're not old enough or barely old enough, but you talk about it on the show enough. And I don't want to give a history lesson, but 10 out of 11, the Mets beat us in 88, and we had to beat them. And it took us 7 games. So maybe it's going to take the Lakers 7 games, and maybe they're going to get over the fact that they lost. And I'll tell you the one thing about that record that changes in an athlete's heart. From the very first pitch or very first tip-off, you have to know you have to be locked in to beat them. So it keeps you on edge from start to finish, where when you're playing a normal game, you don't ease into playoff games. But you kind of say, you know what, let's go play, let's calm down, let's be this, and you kind of have a plan. When somebody's beat you that much, you got to think about out of the ordinary effort, out of the ordinary decisions, out of the ordinary, you know, we need to change it up. And so it's fun because it's like you're playing with house money. You're supposed to lose.
Helps when you got a guy that doesn't give up any runs on the mound too. That seemed to help in that series against the Mets. That was a pretty good deal.
Trav's going
to
send you the talent fee. Trav will be paying for the appearance fee.
Travis, next commercial break, I just hope they don't hate on you and get jealous. I hope they don't.
I kind of hope they do, Oral, because you made my day. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you,
buddy.
Come out to Dodger Stadium. I'll introduce you to Fernando.
You just made a huge mistake, my friend. I'm going to take you up on that. Thanks so much.
All right. See you guys.
You got it. Do you think he knows what he just did?
Cool. That's pretty cool.
Like, I'm going to be like, all right, where is he? Let's go.
I have 75 questions.
Yeah. I've prepared for my my chance encounter
with Fernando. Have you ever seen
That's
awesome.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I've not.
So there's this one episode where Mac writes a letter, but Mac is like 30, writing a letter to Chase Utley.
Oh, yeah.
And he writes the letter as if he's like a 10-year-old boy. Okay. So if Chase Utley ever got it, he's like, oh, this little 10-year-old wrote me this letter. And it's like, Chase, we seem like we have a great time. Do you like your dad? I have trouble. And then it's like, let's have a catch. It's very cute. That's you with Fernando.
Kinda. Yeah, absolutely. What was a rough day up until then, all that Laker stuff, just like bad, negative, disappointing. That made my day. That was very, very cool. All right, so let's go back to the Lakers coming up next. We'll talk about what happened, why it happened, and is there any hope at all? Was there any silver lining that for at least 99% of that game, it felt like the Lakers might pull it out? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And how about this for timing? Rotolo Chevrolet. You see, of course, Oral Hershiser on those Rotolo Chevrolet commercials, along with Mike Capozzo, and they're dancing and they're having a good time. And you're thinking, why are they having so much fun, right? It's because Rotolo Chevrolet's got it figured out. They know what they're doing. They take care of their customers. They got the Silverados. They got the entire Chevy line of cars and trucks out there, and they're ready to take care of you. Unbelievable selection, unbelievable pricing, and customer service that's going to make you come back over and over again and tell every single one of your friends, because you're going to feel good about it. You're going to feel really good about the process. It's transparent. It's courteous. It's upfront. It's not always the case when you go shopping for a car or truck, but it's always the case at Rotolo Chevrolet. So if you're looking for that new Silverado, if you've been thinking about that new Chevy car or truck, get on out to where Oral was headed, right? You heard him right there. He's on the 210, right off the 210 freeway, Sierra Avenue exit. You can't miss it at Rotolo Chevrolet. If you're thinking Rotolo is maybe a little bit out of your range as far as like it's a little bit far away, go online, rotolochevy.com, R-O-T-O-L-O, rotolochevy.com, and tell them that Travis sent you.